of the Independent Electoral Commission, the chairperson. I see the DG from Department of Home Affairs. Just in terms of honorable members, I see Honorable Officer, Honorable Dodovu, Honorable Mketua, Honorable Mikolakis, Honorable Mwaleka, Honorable Hadebe, Honorable Bartlett, Honorable Dangle, Honorable Matamai, Honorable Lamini, and Honorable Ndogini, all members on the platform, welcome. I just should indicate to the meeting that the bulk of the members are sitting with me in the room. So there is a bit of an echo, but I think if it's a problem on the platform, can somebody please just tell me? I'll then request that they actually use headphones or put their mics off. Is the sound okay?
Good morning, Chair. It's not a call. There's echo there. Please,
okay.
Correct that.
Thank you, Suleku. Hold on a sec. I'm just going to correct that. I need a minute, please.
And there's somebody, Chair, who has opened up the volume very high. Someone. I think it's in Samai. The volume is high. No, thanks, Chair. Otherwise, it's okay.
Chair, Honorable Ndongeni and Honorable Malika must mute themselves.
My apologies for that, but I think it's still a problem, which I shall still try to rectify. Give me another minute. Okay, good morning once again, and welcome once again to all honorable members, the minister is on the platform, the chairperson of the commission of the IAC, I think the DG of Department of Home Affairs. I would imagine the legal teams are also present on the platform. Welcome. Just in terms of today's meeting, in our previous meeting on Monday, the 14th of November, we received presentations from the departments, the IAC, and from Parliamentary Legal Services. Is the echo okay, if I may ask on the platform?
Honorable Chair, there are honorable members
honorable
mute themselves. Honorable Dlamini, Honorable Malika, and Honorable Ndongeni, they need to mute themselves.
Honorable Ndongeni, Honorable Malika, Kenny, and Honorable Bali, can you mute yourself, please? Honorable Dlamini? I think everyone's muted now. But there's still an echo.
Chair, they are not muted.
Okay, is that
Honorable Bartlett as well? They are all sitting together and they are not muted.
Colleagues, come on, we can't struggle with technology like that. Okay, I'm actually not sure how to resolve this because I see all of their mics are off. Maleka, Mbali, Nogini, Bartlett, they're not even connected to their speakers, so they shouldn't be a problem. Honorable. Honorable Dango? Okay. Is it much better now, Honorable Filipe?
Chair, we'll manage. We need to continue, but we'll just manage if it's worse. But we can hear you, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'll just try and speak in my mic and take it a bit slow. But just in terms of our previous meeting, it was decided that in today's meeting we would focus on specific matters. Some of them relate to procedural matters. There was also a suggestion by legal services that they would want to table in the committee around a strategic approach. And then there were at least four other issues that were brought out from the presentations that was made by the IEC and the department. I think we'll actually just start with the issue related to procedural matters. It was raised in the last meeting and we agreed we will deal with it today. I just want to have an indication whether do members still want to have discussion around those issues or not? Honourable members? Okay, I take it that we're okay on procedural matters. I'm going to then move on to the issue that legal services raised with us when we couldn't necessarily hear Mr. Njikela in the last meeting with regard to whether they have something to bring to the attention of the committee in terms of trying to deal with this bill in light of the Concord deadline. Is there anything that you wish to table?
Sorry, Chair, my signal is not all that good. Can I ask you to just repeat that? I do apologize.
Okay, maybe let me then go back to procedural matters because Honorable Mikulakis raised it in the previous meeting. What I was asking is whether you wanted to raise any issues around procedural matters or any member would want to.
Yes.
Okay. Is Honorable Mikulakis or Honorable Fetzer? I see both your mics are on.
Chairperson, I'm happy for Honorable Fetzer to go.
Okay, great. Honorable Fetzer?
Okay, thank you. Chair, in terms of the independent candidates, am I audible, Chair? Can you hear me?
Okay, look, we're dealing with procedural matters, whether it's tagging, whatever. I think it was issues that were raised in the previous meeting. We're not yet dealing with the substance of the ball. Honorable Fitzer, I'm not sure if you wanted to raise, because the way what you're raising sounds like you want to raise issues around substance. I'm not sure if you understand me, Honorable Fitzer.
Yes, the sound is very bad, but I totally understand you.
Okay,
the procedural, can I go to public participation?
Yes.
Okay. Chair, the fact that recommendations, uncertainties, and clarification at the first public participation were considered by the committee in the final composition of the EAB. However, after the bill was adopted, the changes did not reflect clearly to voters in terms of that they could see what has happened with their recommendations. Community organizations are therefore not satisfied having the opportunity to be informed of the changes made to the bill on the recommendations they submitted. And the public participation process really bears room for improvement in terms of that. So what are we going to do about that?
Chairperson, didn't you just say that we should deal with the issue of process first and substance thereafter? We're now going into substance and not addressing the issue that was raised by Honorable Michalaki on the question of process.
Yeah, I think it's just the approach that Honorable Fisher took, which it's about a process in a different house. And I think if she wants to speak about the process within the NCOP, then I suggest that we deal with that matter. Okay, let's separate the two and deal with our own procedures. Okay, Honorable Michalakis, I take it you want to come in on procedure as well?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Chair, the two matters on procedure that I raised was the tagging and public participation. I'm not going to make too much of a fuss about the tagging. I think we can proceed on the basis of the Section 75 bill. I have done some reading up and the requirements of it. My submission is that simply because something has an effect on the provinces does not mean that it falls within the ambit of Schedules 4 and 5. So I'm satisfied there, and I'm not going to waste too much time on that. My other remaining question is the one of public participation. Now, there are two ways to look at it. The first one is to take the approach that you've just mentioned, that the procedure in another house is irrelevant to our own procedure. I hear what you say. However, I do think that we have an opportunity, or not an opportunity, a duty, to where the suspicion is that the other house did not do public participation in a satisfactory manner, that we do have an obligation to make sure that we fill those gaps and do proper participation on our side. That is with regards to, in my opinion, the relevance of the public participation in the other house. However, if we only purely look at public participation in the NCOP, we have called for public participation. We've done so through the normal means of advertisements and people submitting public participation. But I do think that this is one of those bills where the impact of it is so far reaching that it does affect literally every single person. And I'm not quite satisfied that the public participation process that was followed has reached by invitation every single citizen that that is affected by this bill. I do understand that we have got limited time and we have time constraints, but again, we can apply this argument that the delay on the NA side should not defect us from actually doing a proper job of this. And I do think that there might be citizens who are affected by the outcome of this bill who did not have the opportunity in terms of technology and access to know, firstly, what the bill is about, and secondly, to be able to raise their concerns. And I do think we need to cover that. So my suggestion would be that we follow a proper public participation process as was followed in the National Assembly. In other words, literally soliciting inputs from the public instead of just following an electronic way of submitting by emails and advertisements in newspapers. That would be my submission, Chairperson. I am concerned that there might have been people excluded, And I do think that we need to do a proper job of this. It is important, Chair, I think, that when we consider a bill, that the public knows about it and that they feel that they've had an opportunity to make an input. And I don't think that is the case here. If it does mean that we need to, from our side, ask for an extension, the Minister indicated that it is within our powers to do so as the NCOP, and I would encourage that. But I do think we need to, as a committee, consider whether everyone affected by this bill had a reasonable opportunity, not just to be aware of it, but to be able to raise their concerns if there are any. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Nicolakis. I think what you're raising is around public participation within our processes. And I would imagine, in light of the fact that this is also Section 75.4, is there any other member who wants to make a contribution? Honourable Dodo?
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. If I may, firstly, my view is that there is no question about the fact that this bill has attracted a lot of attention and interest from the South African population in general. You can even see in the media and elsewhere, there are a lot of discussions and debates on this particular matter. And this bill speaks to the heart of every individual South African, because every individual South African who qualifies who's above the age of 18 has got a right to exercise voting as such. And as a result of that, there is no doubt about that. But my view is that we're sitting here with a very serious difficulty. And the difficulty is the prescription that was made by the Concord, which required Parliament to finalize this bill within a period of 2 years. And already 6 months extension was granted. Sitting here alone, I don't see how, even if we might want to do that, how the Concord might accede to our request. I doubt, I really, really doubt. But I think with the work that we have done, with the submissions, written submissions that we have received, it is within reach. We can reach and accomplish this particular process if we work in the way that we do, work very hard, spend 2 days or 3 days or even 4 days a week just ensuring that we process this. And my respective view is that what we have received for now is sufficient, the written submissions, because inevitably and unavoidably, we cannot ignore the fact that by the 10th we need to of December, we need to have finalized this particular process. And where I see, I really would like us to do that, but because of the limitations of time, I don't see us making any headways in terms of convincing anybody, including the Concord, about the fact that we need an extension. In the past, we all know, sitting here as members of this committee, we all know that in the past, in the bills that came before us, we have encouraged both written and oral submissions. There are a lot of people who appeared before our committee where they made oral submissions. We listened to them and we incorporated their views in the bills that we crafted and ultimately promulgated. And my respective view, I'll really sincerely, while sympathizing and hearing what Honorable Nicolakis is saying, I really wish that we finalize this process in the way that we are moving until take into consideration, as I said, the issue of the deadline that we have. I think we must err on the side of caution, and in that sense, I think let us proceed and finalize. I think in any democracy, it is an ideal thing that you listen to every view, because every view matters. But for now, I think we need to proceed forward and finalize it without getting those oral submissions or whatever additional ways in which we will encourage public participation. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, thank you very much, Honorable Gedovo. Any other honorable member that would want to make a submission? Honorable Maleka?
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Chairperson. I don't have any comments. Mine is just to support Honorable Dodovo for the comment that he just raised now, that we have to support the bill and continue that we can meet the time frame as stipulated to us. Thank you, Chairperson.
No, thank you very much, Honorable Maleka. Honorable Siliku.
Okay, Honorable Mikalakis is before me.
I ask for any additional members that want to make submissions on what is set on the table. I think Honorable Mikalakis has said what he needed to say. I'm soliciting other views. Did you want to have something to say, Honorable Siliku? Yes, I think Honorable Mikalakis has also put something on the chat group.
I think we should allow Honorable Mikalakis to say something, because it was before other members.
Okay, all right, Honorable Mikalakis. But I just, before he comes, I think it's also important that I might also say something, because Honorable members, you are aware that we have been processing Section 75 goals. And the thing is that in terms of our processes, we've always looked at public participation in either written oral submissions. And based on our understanding around issues that are in front of us, we would then take a decision as to what approach we should take going forward. Now, I think members should also consider where we are in this process. If we had sufficient time and we felt that we needed more clarity from the written submissions, we could call people to come and make oral submissions. But if we if we're at a position where we are comfortable with what is being submitted to us, we're able to deal with the matters, we're able to process them without the need for any more clarity, we would obviously then go to the process of requesting oral submissions. Now, I think members need to give an indication as to whether they feel that what is currently on the table, what we've received, what we've been engaging on from the first day that we engaged on this call. If there's a need, you know, that you feel we're not clear on certain matters and you would want our verbal submissions, I mean, that is something that we can discuss. But if it's not necessary, I'll give you examples, members. When we dealt with the Civil Union Amendment Bill, I think there was also pressure from certain sectors of society where they felt we needed to hear them, that their written submissions were not necessarily sufficient. But because we understood the content of what we were dealing with, and us being also a representative democracy, public representative, at the end of the day, the making of laws rests on our shoulders. So we would consider a multitude of factors, if there was a need to open it. And a perfect example in what Honorable Doe said is around the SATA transport, where the inputs were very technical, and we needed that kind of clarity so that we could continue with the process of processing a bowl and getting to a point where we can take the inputs forward. So the fact that if we also at some point received some kind of legal opinion as well in terms of public participation, I mean, the fact that we call for written submissions is also part of the process. And I think if the bowl was a Section 76 bowl, then perhaps the suggestions of additional public hearings, etc., could be something that provinces, I mean, each province in the country would actually entertain and embark on that process. But I just want to go back to the chat. Sorry, Honorable Glaucus. Unless maybe I let you in, Honorable Glaucus, in terms of what you want to add. I'll take you, Honorable Tuleku, with your hands still up. And then Honorable Bartlett in that order.
Thank you, Chair. I really appreciate the fact that I can make a contribution for a second time so soon. Chairperson, yes. With regards to what I said in the chat over there, I merely indicated that if this was a Section 76 bill, the provinces would have taken it for oral submissions as well in the proper way. And I do think that since it is a Section 75 bill, that we now need to fill that void, and we need to make sure that public participation takes place in that way from our side. That, in my opinion, would be adequate public participation. And I've heard from the other members, especially Honorable Dudova, which I appreciate, the fact that public participation is important. I mean, it's a cornerstone of participatory democracy. And I do think that we need to take it seriously. Now, the only argument against this that I've heard with respect is the deadline. And I do think that it is terribly unfair towards us as the NCOP, whereas in the 2 years time frame that the Constitutional Court gave, we only get a month of those 2 years to have to not consider this bill, but it's starting to feel like push it through. That is not very fair towards the NCOP, and I do think we as a select committee have a duty to push back on that. Chairperson, I mean, you can't properly consider a bill of this scale, magnitude, and the effect that it will have on our country within a month's time. And I honestly believe that if we need to then as a committee approach the Constitutional Court for an extension, that we need to do so. But we can't say that of the 2 years, what would have happened if the National Assembly decided that they're going to take another 2 weeks? Then we would have had 2 weeks to process this bill. Would we have kept quiet then as well? So I do think that we honestly need to say that we need some more time from our public participation, even if it's just including oral submissions, which I do think is lacking in this instance. Even if it's just to include that, we need to have a few extra weeks so that we can properly consider it on our side. The delay is due to no fault of the NCOPs. And of the 2 years, we only got 1 month. I don't think that's too much to ask. I don't think that the Constitutional Court would think we are unreasonable in that. But I do think at this stage, Chairperson, that we have not had adequate public participation. I don't think that just receiving written submissions and not hearing out at least the people who submitted, if not members of the public who the advertisements could not reach, I do think that including them, at least the ones who've made the submissions in oral arguments, would at least go a bit further. I don't think it's adequate, but it's a step in the right direction. And that, Chairperson, would take a day, two, three. I mean, the National Assembly did their public participation in a question of a few days, which is also not necessarily adequate. The summary of what I want to say, Chairperson, is that we can't be expected to rush a bill through in 1 month if the National Assembly took almost all of the 2 years available to us. And I, with that being the only arguments, the argument against public participation, I do think that we owe the public and our constitution the duty to make sure that we cover the requirements within public participation as is set out in our constitution. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mikolakis. Honourable Seleku, do you have anything to say?
No, Chair, I have to say something. And I'm not going to say I was worried or I actually preempted that this debate will actually come to this particular stage where someone will put a view and someone will say, no, I second that view without any substantive comments or contributions. And unfortunately, Chair, just to go to the stats of last year,
26. I propose you focus on your input. Let's not dictate how members should contribute. I'm not doing that.
Chair, please, I'm not dictating. I'm putting my input, but you cannot.
Don't mix it with other issues.
No, but don't prescribe how I should put my input.
No, then don't prescribe what other members should say.
You're prescribing me how I should contribute and how I should put my input, which I think is unfair.
No, I made a point.
Chair, I'm on the floor here.
If you don't like my point, it's another issue. What I'm saying is the same way.
No, you're prescribing to me how I should put my point across.
I was just saying that make your point.
No, you cannot dictate to me, Chair. I have a right to say whatever I want to say. I don't have to prescribe to your way of doing things. I'm doing it my way.
In the same way you don't want me to prescribe to you, don't prescribe to what other people want to say.
Chair the meeting.
I am chairing the meeting.
Chair the meeting and be quiet and let us talk.
I said make your point. And I will not be told by you to be quiet. Please make your point.
I want to
make your point.
If you don't keep quiet.
Dialogue. Open dialogue table. Dialogue.
Chairperson and members, may we stop the dialogue? Can you please put your point of view across so we can understand what you say? Thank you.
Please continue.
What I'm saying, I'm trying to reiterate what I've said when we started with this particular process. And what I've been hearing from the members in this particular committee, they are not saying that we don't need to go out for public participation. They are not saying that. But the only impediment is the fact that there is a deadline. And surely, we cannot, as a House of Parliament, be dictated by another House due to the fact that they took too long to initiate their own processes. Now we come here as members of committee and say, no, it's sufficient, Komlanduga, Pablanduga, oral Pablanduga, written submission, we must continue because we have a deadline. It can never be an argument because this particular bill is going to impact on the majority of South Africans that have a right to vote. And they're going to elect leaders that are going to dictate and there are leaders that are going to make laws within the next 5 years. And surely, Chair, if there is an opportunity for us to go the route of public participation so that we can satisfy ourselves as this particular House, say that regardless of what has happened in the other House, we as legislatures of this particular House saw it fit enough to say we also want an opportunity for people to raise their views in terms of what is currently been recommended and how they view the bill. Because there is a lot of people in this country that do not understand this particular bill. One example, Chair, I had a conversation yesterday with someone about the 20% when it comes to the signatures. And I'm telling you, their understanding in terms of 20%, they don't even understand what it means and how it's applied. So, Chair, and I'm telling you even now, Chair, even our members here in the committee, they would not even explain or understand what the 20% is and how it's calculated. Then if we as members don't even understand them, kubekelaphi ngabantu abaphandle?
No, we cannot allow that, Chair. So, Chair, what I would suggest, I would like us to get views, looking at the deadline, if there is any way possible for us to go the route of public participation. If not, how can one remedy the situation? Thank you very much, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Sulesu. Honorable Bartlett.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. Chair, it's not about rushing through this bill. It's not about seconding also. It's about us to follow procedures. And now this thing must come to an end. It's not a competition for us. Honorable Leku mustn't dictate to us what we must say, because I also support what Comrade Dodou said and what Comrade Maleka said. So it's not about that, but we can't be dictated to. Let's just follow procedures, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Honorable Fisher.
Chair, listening to all the inputs that here this morning, I just think we must compare what we are doing with what the Constitution expects us to do in terms of public participation. Because out in the communities, people are terribly confused about what is transpiring, and the duty of the NCOP simply also to facilitate public participation in the conduct of public affairs, which this is a public affair that affects everybody's lives, by ensuring that citizens have the necessary information and effective opportunity to exercise the right to political participation. That we really, as the NCOP, can say today that we complied with that. Because if they go to the Constitutional Court and the people approach that, that was, will be one of the questions that is, that will be asked. Were we reasonable with people out there? We standing in between the National Assembly and the members of the public. We cannot just be used as a rubber stamp because of a timeline. And I respectfully request that we think nicely about this thing and that we make the right decision. Not to just rush this thing through because it's end of the year and we have 2 weeks to do it then, or a month, but let's take our time with that.
Thank you, Honorable Mendes. Let me then call Honorable Dodou.
Thank you once more, Honorable Chair. Firstly, I want to address the behavior of Honorable Sulesu, that there is one chairperson in this platform. If all of us were going to behave in the way that is behaving, this meeting was going to get out of order. You can't, as a member of parliament, sit here and argue with a chairperson, no matter how you feel about the issues at hand, and behave in the way that is not only condescending, but it disrespects the protocols of Parliament in that sense, Honorable Chair. I think it is wrong and it is uncalled for. And as I said, there's only one chairperson and we need to respect the processes of the meeting. I do understand that we're dealing with a very contentious issue here, and this issue is at the heart of what we stand for and what we represent as a country. But we need to be, at all material times, be matured when dealing with issues. But the second point that I want to deal with is that he mustn't undermine the intelligence of members of parliament. He sits here and say, even some members of parliament do not understand the calculations, they don't understand the bill, they don't understand what we're talking about. Who are those members of parliament who don't understand? It is as if he has the monopoly of intelligence and thinking over and above other members of parliament, that he understands, they don't understand, they waffle, they prevaricate, and he talks sense, and that sense must be listened to by other members of parliament. I don't think that this is the spirit in which we should approach this debate. It is wrong, and in my respective view, it is really unacceptable. Having said that, Honorable Chair, I want to remind this meeting that the IEC has requested 18 months to prepare for the next elections. And remember, this 18 months include the fact that they've got to find a way of integrating the independents within the system itself. Remember, Honorable Chair, for 26 years, we were using a different electoral model that excludes the independents. And I don't think that it is to ask too much of them when they say we need 18 months to prepare for these elections. But secondly, Honorable Chair, let us be practical and be realistic. Let's say, for heaven's sake, we are going to say out of this meeting, we are going to request the Concord to extend. It's a process on its own. It doesn't mean that the Concord is going to sit next week or next month to consider our submission for an extension. It doesn't work like that in practical terms. We've got to prepare submission as the NCOP submitted there. It takes all the months, and that is not going to be really counterproductive. And I'll tell you why I'm saying this, Honorable Chair. I'm saying this because in the 18 months that we need to prepare for this particular elections, it is not automatic that the Concord is going to agree with us. We all know that last year there was an approach to the Concord in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, which was ravaging the whole country, which was taking the lives of people. And in the interest of our democracy and in protecting our constitution, the Concord refused. It said there is a constitution, and the constitution says if 5 years and at the most is 90, within 90 days period, you must have held those particular elections. It refused. It didn't grant that particular permission. Now, what is it that we are going to say to the Concord, that we need a postponement, that the National Assembly has delayed the process, that the National Assembly has taken 2 years and they are only giving us a month? This is a matter that we must resolve, in my respective view, between this House, the NCOP, and the National Assembly, in a manner that builds our processes, more especially when they've got a directive that comes from the Concord. It is a matter between the two houses that must be dealt with accordingly. It is not, I contend, it is not a matter of the Constitutional Court. And I don't see how the Constitutional Court, in its wisdom, would agree to that, to say another house wasted your time and therefore you need your time. I don't think that this is what we need to do. I think, Honorable Chair, that the systems that we have put in place have taken all the factors into consideration. One is that we all agree, and there's no question about it. Actually, this is what we stand for, the public participation, bringing people closer to the to parliament, ensuring that they do contribute in the running of the affairs of their own country is quite important. It's actually at the heart of what we represent as the ANC, to ensure that the people must participate. But here, as I said, Honorable Chair, we're sitting with a practical problem. And that practical problem is a problem that must be addressed between the two houses. But the fact of the matter is, the dictates of the law spell out that we must have finalized this process by the 10th of December. And I think, under the circumstances, we need to ensure that we achieve that particular objective. We are not rushing anybody. Nobody is being rushed. We think that we wish that we could have done it. We could have had time, more time, even a year or 2 years as the NCOP to consider all the factors into consideration. But I think within our limited constraints, this is what we've done. And I think, Honorable Chair, we must congratulate how you have steered this particular process this far. You immediately, within a day or two after this bill was sent to the NCOP, issued a notice to invite people to submit their written submissions. They have done so in a very polemic way, in a very diverse way, but they have contributed in what we in what we have. And I think the matters are at hand now. The issues on the table. We've got to talk about these matters. We've got to see how we incorporate all these particular suggestions that were made by the people of this country. That is what we must do. And I think we have the capacity. And to this far, in respect of public participation, there's nothing wrong whatsoever, Honorable Chair, that we have done. It is just that we are concerned about the fact that we wish that we had more time to can incorporate everything, to can listen to everybody. Everybody in that sense. That mama must make a contribution so that as the true representatives of the people, we must incorporate those particular ideas in what we do as parliament. But for now, Honorable Chair, I think that this particular point, as much as important it is not going to help us, given the considerations and the factors that I've alluded to. It will not help us to open a space for public participation in respect of oral submissions. What we have in terms of the written submissions, it is okay. We have received the necessary advice, legal, even from the institutions that are relevant, that are dealing with these particular issues. We are okay. I think we need to proceed along those particular lines and ensure that we complete the task at hand. And I think, in my respective view, this is how we must proceed forward. And I want to sincerely implore on those who want to frustrate this process, who want to drag it perpetually and in a bottomless way, to desist from doing us and allow us within that time to move the process forward. But out of this particular process, Honorable Chair, I'm going to make a recommendation that we need a discussion between the two houses of parliament, the NA and the NCOP, so that we iron out this problem, so that we are not put into a limited space of time in terms of dealing with these particular issues, because I think we could have done it better. But under the circumstances, as I said, I think we must proceed forward, Honorable Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Zubovu. Honorable Matsumat.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, we support the bill, and there's nothing that we can argue, because what I wanted to raise the Honorable Chair to do, I've already stated clearly. So we support the bill, I think.
And her hand is physically up. Honorable Flamini.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it is important to also rubber stamp the position of the EFF in terms of the Electoral Amendment Bill as tabled. We confirm that the processes followed in the announcement of the bill was transparent. It was fair and it was straightforward. All the people of South Africa, including civil society organizations, were given adequate opportunity and space to make input and comments on the bill. After consultation, this bill is what we have produced and being tabled here consistent with the Constitutional Court ruling and provides an equal platform for all those who seek to contest elections to do so in a transparent and open platform. It is a choice of those who seek to contest elections as to whether they intend to do so within an organization or as individuals. No one is forced to join a political party, and no one is forced to be in a so-called independent candidate. The bill as proposed is therefore correct and legitimate in stating that the minimum requirements of entry for political parties must be the same as those of so-called independent candidates. The bill is further correct that if independent candidates receive votes that exceed the minimum number of votes for election into parliament,
Chair, on a point of order.
Honorable Mbali, my apologies. I had a challenge with unmuting myself. initial fact, I couldn't even hear you in the platform. But in essence, I think you made your point around the public participation issue. Let me move on to the next member, was Honorable Mchekwa, and I think we'll close with that comment.
I think Honorable was not yet You just started, Chair, while she was still in the platform after me, kind of like you just called a point of question.
No, my apologies. I think my mic also went off.
Thank you, Chair. Can I proceed?
I want to maybe let me just hear Mr. Honorable Mikulaki's point of order, because I thought I understood what he was trying to say, but also I was having my own issue. Honorable Mikulaki?
Yes, Chairperson, sorry. I just want to, on the submissions that we've just heard from the last member, it sounds very much that those were substantive issues going into why the bill is now supported and which sections are wonderful and which are not. I don't think we're dealing with that right now. We're dealing with the procedural issues, which is specifically on public participation.
But if you can wait for me to finish, you'll find out where I'm going.
Chairperson, I would firstly ask not to be interrupted, and secondly, that perhaps...
I was equally interrupted, Chairperson.
Okay, my apologies.
Chairperson, I think I shared my point.
Okay, Honorable Mbali, can we just listen to Honorable Mikulaki's point? But I think I've understood the gist of your point, Honorable Mikulaki. We're dealing with the... Honorable Mbali, I also interrupted you because I wanted to also point out that we're currently just dealing with the public participation issue. We're not yet dealing with the substantive issues of the bill. But
Chairperson, I was asking for you to let me finish my statement because you are preempting what I need to say.
You can't preempt
what I'm trying to say because you did not even let me finish.
Honorable Mbali, can I clarify what I'm saying?
I think I heard you. I heard you, Chairperson.
Okay, for Oran Bali, are you still on the platform? Oh, please continue.
No, Chairperson, no, thank you very much, because I can see that some have prophesied what I wanted to complete. I just wanted to rubber stamp that the fact that the public has been given opportunities to participate, there will be no need. And so let's move on and let's not waste time, because there are other matters of national interest that we must attend to. This process has been exhausted enough. Thank you.
Okay. No, thank you very much, Honorable Mbali. Honorable Mchekwa. Sure. Honorable Mchekwa?
Chair, my hand is open.
I think you've made your point, Honorable Kulitu. I think I'm listening to other members. Let them finish. Let me take Honorable Chileku before you, Honorable Chetwa, because you're struggling to deal with your gadgets. Honorable Chileku?
Mbulele Salo. Oko kala, ndi mamelu umbundanu tutu uvilungu, le komiti. Kabele zindi ndi nika, isfundo ngenzi ya layoko zipata. Kanyo zaikala ke umbundanu tutu uvilungu, through you, Chair. Intro nipo. Iza makala omabini. So xa ungandihloniphiyo mna njengelungu lekomiti, nam andizukuhlonipha noba ungusihlalo wekomiti. So andingomntu ongakwazi uyusiphatha,
kodwa andizuvumela umuntu anyashe amalungelo am. So izimvo zam zibalekile, whether uyazivumelana nazo okanye uvumelane nazo. And naye umnumzana uDodovu akazusixelela ukuthi nguye yedwa nolwazi malunga nezinto. Izimvo zakhe
ndizihloniphile. Ahloniphe
ezam. Thank you very much.
Yeah, you see, it's not good for you to address other members, and I think you persist on doing that. And I think, yeah, you're actually out of order, and I hear members here saying that you're out of order. So I desist from that, please. Honorable Mchetwa, please.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I think we're enormous agreed on this point. This one, I think. Sorry for that, Chair. I was saying that I think we all agreed on this point for now, okay? And without a waste of time, we also want to second the point here, which says that we need both houses to have a joint meeting on this matter, just to speed up the process in order to conclude it as a matter of agenda. I thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members, for all those inputs. Honorable Dango. Is it Honorable Dango? Apologies, colleagues. We have members physically here and members on the platform. Honorable Dango.
Chairperson, if I may, I have my hand up. Yes, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Chairperson. Chairperson, I think it's not for us to consider and criticize what the other House of Parliament is doing. We are in fact one parliament with two houses. We are now faced with the prospect of dealing with this bill. In fact, we have dealt and by and large with the bill, and so is the NA, complied with the court order issued by the Constitutional Court. We've complied with that. If there is a process beyond that, that people want to talk about constitutional reform and the Electoral Act reform, I think the entire process, I think that's another process that needs to be instituted at some other time that people can initiate. But at this particular point in time, we have a court order, we have a date. If we don't conclude by that particular date, we put place in the country in a conundrum. And it's irresponsible for us to do so. Can we please proceed with the substance of issues that are of real substance that we need to amend? Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, honorable members, for your contributions in what I think is a very important subject. But this bill also has a context. So the context is in terms of also how it is tagged in terms of the constitutional provisions, but also in terms of the circumstances that we find ourselves in as a committee. And it's also not the first bill that we dealt with that may be contentious, but that also has a constitutional court deadline. And I think in terms of the public participation issue, that in itself also has a context. And we have opened it up. We have received written comments. We have considered the written comments. And we have reached a point where we feel we can move forward with the ball. So this is the what honourable members are saying. And I think if we had a lot more time in terms of the circumstances, rather, we would then consider perhaps doing things in other ways as well. But given the timeline as well, I think on members, we must consider the circumstances. We must consider the fact that it's a Section 75 bill, and we must consider the fact that we have done adequate participation in this bill. I think that being said, on members, and I think the general sentiment of members is that we should continue with this process. I think that being said, we'll then move on to the next issue.
Yes. Thank you, Chair. I hate to do this to you. I would just like, in terms of the minutes, my own objection as well as that of the other two DA members to be recorded in the minutes that we do not agree that public participation was followed and that it be recorded in the minutes. Thank you very much, Chair.
Are you saying that public participation was not
adequate? Sorry, that sufficient public participation was not conducted. We just want our opposition to the current decision of moving forward based on the fact that or the opinion that public participation was followed, that we are against that opinion and that we are of the opinion that more public participation should have happened. We just want that minute.
You're saying that public participation was not adequate?
It was not adequate, indeed.
All right, is that what you're saying? Great.
Can we just qualify, Chairperson, the DA's one, that public participation from the DA constituency was not sufficient?
No, Honourable Dengo, you're out of order, Honourable Dengo.
Thank you,
Chair. No, thank you very much,
but it's true, Chairperson.
Honourable members, can we get some order in this meeting? I think I prefer you guys virtual. But be that as it may, Honourable Members, thank you. The minutes will note the DA's view on the matter. I think we'll then move on to the next issue, which is around the proposal by Legal Services. I just want to get an indication from them if they have anything to put before the committee, and we'll take it from the Legal Services. I'm not sure if it's yourself, Dacha, who's going to take us through, or Siviwe. But please, if you can give me an indication.
Good morning, Chairperson. This is Dacha. In relation to the proposal, Chair, there is no longer a proposal on the table. And this we had to discuss between us after we heard the presentations from the department and the IEC. We reconsidered what we wanted to propose, and we realized it's no longer feasible. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. No, thanks for that. I think then all members will then move into the third issue, which is with regard to the proposals around the amendments. Members will recall, in terms of our previous engagement, one of the issues that arose was around the issue of signatures, especially in terms of equalizing the issue of the 20% signatures between independent candidates and political parties, as well as the fact that independent candidates, like represented parties, should also be exempted from the requirement following an election. So, or in the next election, or in the preceding election. So just in terms of that issue, I'm going to request both the departments, or the IC rather, to perhaps speak to that if they have anything else to add. And then I'll request all members then to deal with the issue. If I can get the IEC, Chairperson Mwepia, of the Commission. Over to you.
Good morning, Chairperson of the session. Good morning to your honourable members. I'm with the commissioners, Commissioner Masuku in particular, who is joining us. I'm also with members of the executive team in the IEC, led by Deputy Chief Electoral Officer Masego Shiburi. The CEO and other members of the commission, we are split dealing with quite a number of issues. May I greet the DG and every other member present on the platform. Chair, I have two issues to raise this morning. One, I want to thank you for this invitation and want to assure you and the members of the committee that we have come as invited to render any technical assistance you as the committee may want us to render. But secondly, to indicate that we do wish to ask for your indulgence in that the submission we made and presented on Monday, we have made a small adjustment, which is insignificant. The adjustment we have made to that relates to the annexures. We had submitted 7 annexures, but in error, we referenced 8 in our discussion, our notes. And that is the part that we have corrected. The rest remains the same. Nothing has fundamentally changed. And to the extent that there are issues you want us to deal with this morning, we're quite happy. I don't know, Chair, and maybe I should get it from you, if there's any very specific issue you want us to address. If it is so, we're quite happy to address. Let me come back to you, Chair, and take further instructions from you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. What we were doing was isolating issues that came out of the previous discussion. So the issue that we're looking at the current moment is the issue of the signatures, which I thought was pretty well discussed. In actual fact, it was a matter discussed in all of our meetings from the first one. I just thought if you had anything else to add in terms of what was currently on the table, the issue about there were two issues on the table. So one was around the 20% requirement for candidacy for political parties to register for elections. And the second thing was in relation to those political parties who had gained representation in a preceding election would be exempt from that requirement going forward. So that was the issue on the table. I was just verifying if you had anything else you would want to have added to that, if you are happy with what is on the table, if you have nothing else to add, rather, let me put it that way, you would just give me an indication. I'm just opening it up so that before members then deliberate on it, if you have something else to add, you may. But if you covered that, please say so.
Chairperson, on those two issues, we don't have anything more to add. We have made our input and we are satisfied with it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. From the side of the department, I don't know if the DG is there. Yeah, I know you said he was traveling, but okay, all right. Is there anyone from the side of the department on the platform? From legal? Okay, I'm going to request Gershwin or Zolani on the platform. Can you just verify what is happening with the department? I know the DG was on the platform. and I don't see him on the platform. So I, this Sibonga Konke. Do you want to say something? Okay, over to you. I'm sorry, your name is it Sibonga Konke?
Yes, that's correct.
All right, please, over to you.
Yes, morning everyone, colleagues. My name is Sibonga Konke Ngwenya from DHA Legal Services. Currently, we do not have any inputs in relation to the question that we have currently raised now. Yes. Sure, thanks, colleagues. That's it from our side. For now, we do not have any input from the department. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Over to you, Honourable Members. Honourable
Bill. Thank you.
Honourable.
Okay. Yes. Thank you very much.
On the issue of signatures.
Yes. The signature.
And sorry, before you continue, can Sibonga Konke, can you please switch off your mic? Okay. Thank you, Honourable Bill.
Yes, I understand the issue of the signatures.
Honourable Jadobo, please unmute.
Yes, sir, I apologize for that. I was saying that I understand the issue of the signatures to be as follows, that in the bill that comes from the National Assembly, it requires 20% for the independents, and it requires the 1,000 registrations for signatures for political parties. And the amendment that we are proposing here is that this must be applicable to both the independents and the political parties that are not represented currently in either the provincial legislature and the National Assembly. And those who wish to register must accumulate or acquire 20% of the current quota of the National Assembly, which is 44,000 votes per seat, which translates to mean that you would require 20%. And the 20% would be 8,800 signatures as such to register for this particular election. And in that sense, there is equality, there is balance, there is equal representation between the political parties that are not currently represented in parliament, as well as the independents. And that those independents who acquire a seat in parliament in the ensuing and subsequent elections, they will not need the signatures to register and contest for the election. That is my understanding, and that is how I understand that we're proposing the amendment. And in that sense, I support it fully, that this is what we need to do, make that intervention with regard to the current bill, as we received it from the National Assembly. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honourable Dodobo. Honourable Dango.
Thank you very much, Chair. On the broader electoral reform post-2024 elections, we believe that the views expressed by the society on the need to review the electoral system is an important debate. Yeah,
Honorable Deng, we're actually dealing with the issue of signatures. Honorable Dodobo has made a proposal. Is there any other proposal on members? Honorable Dango, please mute. Oh, you want to say something? Please come in.
Yeah. Chairperson, can I then address the issue on the vacancy in seats?
We're
the proposal for this amendment is supported.
But Honorable Dango, order Honorable Dango. We're on the issue of signatures. Members, please, if you don't, please concentrate on what we're doing here, because we're currently dealing with the first proposal on amendments. There has been a submission by Honorable Zadovu. I want to verify if there's a support for the submission, there's alternative submissions. If you can give me an indication, all honorable members, if there's a new submission, please indicate so. Honorable members?
We support Honorable Chair.
Okay, that's Honorable Bartlett. This room, I think we're in, is very distracting.
No, Chair, you asked for support. So I said I support a proposal, Honorable the door in the absence of any other proposal.
Thank you, Honorable Bartlett. Thank you very much. Are there any other views on the matter? Okay, I take it that members are in support of the matter. We'll then move on to the next issue, which is the issue with regard to vacancies in seats. This was an input that came from the IEC, and this was to address the comment related to an error in the method to award a seat left vacant by an independent who had been elected to more than one legislative assembly. And there's a proposed amendment by the IEC to Schedule 1A to address this matter. I think in relation to this one, I'm going to request the IEC to give it more context. IEC?
Chairperson, thank you very much. I'd like to ask the Deputy Chief Electoral Officer to deal with the issue on our behalf. Thank you very much.
Please continue.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you, and good morning to honourable members. The context, Chair, is as follows. We are proposing a redrafting to items 7 and item 12 of the Schedule 1 capital A, and the motivation is as follows. Item 7 deals with the forfeiture of National Assembly seats, and that is mirrored in item 12, which deals with the forfeiture of seats in a legislature. The forfeiture is possible in two scenarios. The first one is an instance where a party has received more seats than the names of candidates it has submitted. In this instance, that party stands to forfeit those seats. The second scenario deals with independence, where an independent stands to be elected to more than one seat or to more than two legislative assemblies. So the process of recalculating and reallocating that seat is currently dealt with in item 7.3 of Schedule 1A. Our proposal is that we amend that section in the following manner. What we have submitted in the previous presentation, a text with strike through content. And if we do that, Chair, we achieve the following. We will achieve treatment, equal treatment and fair treatment for all candidates, whether they are independent or whether they appear on party list. In its current formulation, What that provision achieves is that when you recalculate seats by excluding independents, you basically safeguard an independent who has won a seat by a who has bought a seat cheaply in the National Assembly or in the national or in the provincial legislature. And that drafting does not accord the same protection to a candidate on a party list. So the rephrasing will bring parity in how the bill or Schedule 1A deals with independent candidates. And we think the bill will be infinitely improved by that technical adjustment. So when we first drafted the bill and we had disregarded votes cast for independent in a recalculation of a forfeiture, we had wanted to avoid a situation where we end up with unending seat recalculations. But we've realized in hindsight that achieves unintended consequences. The matter was again raised as part of the public consultation process. That weakness was raised as part of the public participation submissions, and therefore that's why we are proposing the redraft as we propose. We submit, Chair, that the technical adjustment brings parity in how candidates are impacted, and it removes unfairness that independents may potentially buy a seat cheaply, and that would not be the case for candidates that appear on the party list. We reiterate again, Chair, that we illustrated this during the presentation on the 9th of November to indicate by way of electoral outcomes how if this provision remains unchanged, how it will have upset results that are not intended by Schedule 1A. If the committee is with us, Chair, in conclusion, there will be consequential drafting issues in items 23 and 24, which are deletions in the main to remove cross-referencing to item 7 and item 12. In other words, if this is carried through, we are changing the scheme in Schedule 1A to indicate that in the event an independent candidate who is elected to occupy a seat in the National Assembly and a seat in the provincial legislature, in the event that they choose one seat over the other, the net effect is that recalculation and reallocation of that seat is no longer done in terms of a forfeiture formulation, but it is dealt with in terms of a vacancy. We treat it as a vacancy, and for that purpose, we are proposing new clause 24(3) that will deal give effect to the recalculation to allocate that seat. In technical terms, Chair, these are technical adjustments that give effect to the logic contained in Schedule 1A. If we leave them unchanged, they will have upset consequences in that they will treat an impact on candidates in a differentiated way, in a very unfair way that can be justified. Thank you, Chair. That's our submission. The actual reformulation and draft we have shared with the Parliamentary Legal Services.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shibori. Commissioner, do you have anything to add?
Chair, I am covered. I am covered by what Mr. Shibori has raised. Those are submissions in relation to the technical issues, from the most recent consultations that the Select Committee has had. And we do believe, Chair, that this, in fact, strengthens the bill. And without this amendment, the bill may inadvertently be weakened. We make that submission, Chair, for your consideration.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. On members.
Okay, just a small question.
Please, under the door.
In this case, as the explanation is made that if a person is elected in both the National Assembly or the provincial legislature, it will be the choice of the candidate, independent candidate, to choose whether he or she wants to go to the National Assembly or wants to go to the provincial legislature. That's my question, Honorable Chair. I seek that clarity.
Okay. Okay. No, it's fine. Can I? Is it Mr. Shiburi or Commissioner who can deal with that question? I think the clause does deal with that, but maybe clarify.
The clause does deal with that, Chair, in that it looks at the where the candidate has mastered what is proportionally more votes in the seat that they have won. And in the event that, you know, they have been elected to more than one seat, that seat where they have proportionally more votes will be the one that they take, as I understand. I'm going to ask Mr. Shiburi to add if there's anything I have omitted.
They've switched me completely out. I can't re-enter.
Thanks, Chair. There's a nuance. The response given by Ntate Moyopia is correct as it relates to an independent who wins more than one seat in two different regions for the National Assembly. The question, as I understand by Honorable Dodovu, relates to an independent candidate who stands to gain two seats in different legislative assemblies,
yes.
One in the National Assembly, the other in a provincial legislature. In that instance, the same process applies as to a party candidate. We'll give that independent 2 days to indicate which seat they elect to go to. And if they choose a seat in the National Assembly or they choose a seat in the legislature, we will then do a recalculation as though we are filling a vacancy. That is the only distinction that this rephrasing introduces. Thank you very much, Dr. Mieto.
Just allow me to say something.
You've been clarified, Honorable Dodovu. Please continue.
Yes, but that has been my understanding, that if you are elected in two, or you appear in two regional lists, and you are elected, you acquire seats in two regional lists, that proportion in terms of the percentage will apply. You are compelled to go to take the higher one. That I understood. In this case, I think Mr. Shiburi is right. I was asking in relation to the National Assembly and the provincial legislature, not on two regional lists. Now I understand that the choice will be up to the independent candidate and is given specific time frame that will, in that case, will choose whether would want to go to the regional, to the provincial legislature, or the National Assembly. I understand, Chairman.
Okay, Honorable Dodovu, are you done?
I'm done, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, no, that's fine. That was presented. There was a clarity question by Honorable Dodovu. Are there any comments that members would want to make in relation to this proposal or proposed amendment? Honourable Sister?
Thank you, Chair. Just for a point of clarity, these independent candidates, if they are allowed to stand in more than one region and in more, say for instance, in two different provinces, into different things like that, then it is every time there will be a recalculation necessary on the national PR for the quotas. How is that going to affect us if they are allowed to do this? Because as members of parliament, we cannot do that. We cannot stand in two provinces or two legislatures or whatever simultaneously or regions, as you call it.
Okay, I think Honorable Fisser is dealing with the issue around representation in more than one region. The clause is dealing with the issue of representation in a province, in a provincial legislature or the National Assembly. But maybe let me ask you to provide that clarity and context as well. Over to you, Aisi.
Thank you, Chair. No, the point that the Honourable Member raises is valid. It deals with the following scenario to say what guarantees are there that when you do a seat recalculation to fill a vacancy or to reallocate a seat that has been forfeited, you will not be removing a seat from a party that has already been allocated a seat. So there are safeguards in that when you do a seat recalculation to fill a vacancy left vacant by an independent, we already preserve the seats that have already been finally allocated. So a situation will not arise that, say, 2.5 years into a term of parliament, an independent loses membership of the assembly, and that when we do a recalculation, we take a seat from a party that had already been allocated a seat as a result of the election. So once seats are allocated after an election and the results are made known, a recalculation that happens beyond that point will not have an adverse effect on removing seats and by implications, rights that had already vested on parties and independents who have been designated as elected into legislative assemblies. Thank you, Chair.
As a matter of clarity, can I just come in here?
Please, Honourable.
I explicitly need clarification on independent candidates. Are they allowed then to stand in more than one region? Thank you.
Okay, I'll let the IC perhaps deal with that. Even the department can deal with that. But currently the policy stands does that. Please, over to you, IC, and then to the department or from the department to the IC. I think either one of you can deal with that issue.
Thank you, Chair. Indeed, you are correct, Chair. The bill as it stands says an independent may contest for a seat in the National Assembly in multiple regions. Why is that so? Because in terms of the Constitution, a person who's entitled to vote for the National Assembly is entitled to be a member of the National Assembly. So to lock an independent into one region would be limiting their rights, their political rights to participate. That's one. The effect of a candidate, of an independent being able to contest into multiple regions does not, however, mean or imply that that independent may aggregate seats across the regions in order to have a seat in the National Assembly. The independent will still win a seat in the National Assembly based on the relative quota in each region in which they are contesting. The second qualification is that where an independent wins more than one seat in multiple regions, that independent will be defaulted to a seat that they have won with the most number of votes, and they do not have an election in that regard. They can't choose a seat. They can only choose a seat if they win two seats in two different legislative assembly, i.e. the National Assembly and in a provincial legislature. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shiburi, Honorable Hadebe. Honorable Hadebe?
Yes, thank you so much, Chairperson. No, it's just a minor inquiry. I thought that you had said that we are not discussing the substantive matters of the bill, just to get a clarity. Are we now? Thank you.
Sorry, Honorable Hadebe, I didn't get that. My apologies. I couldn't hear that.
Honorable Chairperson, I'm saying, and initially you have said that we are not discussing the substantive issues of the bill. But apparently it seems as if we are deep into the substantive issues of the bill now. Now I'm asking if are we now back into discussing the substantive issues of the bill. Thank you.
No, thank you, Honorable Hadebe. Yes, we are at that point. We're looking at proposals that were made in relation to amendments to the bill. We're actually on the substantive issues. I think initially we were dealing with procedural matters. We have exhausted that. It's part of the agenda. We're actually now into proposed amendments, which are the substantive issues. Did you have one? Did you want to make an input?
Well, at a later stage, Honorable Chairperson.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Honorable Tetwa.
Oh, thank you, Chairperson. It's Honorable Malika. Malika. I'm using it. Yes.
Okay. Please continue, Honorable Malika.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think if you can allow me to switch off my camera because there is an unstable network now. Honorable Chairperson, on the issue of the vacancies in state, I think the proposal for this amendment is supported to address an error in the method to award a seat left vacant by an independent who had been elected to more than one legislative assembly. The proposal amendment will affect Schedule 1A and also. So, Chairperson, there is noise around. And also the IEC is, however, requested to further elaborate on the amendment and the subsequent presidential amendment on other clauses that may result in correcting the error. Thank you, Chair.
Very much, Honorable Malika. Honorable Seleku.
Manbulele Salo, Lombuzo ndibuzela ugogo lo uhlale emaphandleni lo uzayovota ngo 2024. Ndifuna icaciswe izokwa imanyelwe ivakale kumntu wonke. So ndizawuzama uthetha kancinci so that kungabikho nto ezawusiphitha. Mandithi ke ndingumgqatswa mna ndingumbulelo wakwaSiliko. Ndingumgqatswa kumaphondo amahlanu. Then ke kuyavotwa. Emveni kovoto kuyafumanisekisa ukuthi kulo maphondo amahlanu kwiphondo laseNtshona Koloni ndiye ndafumana ezona voti zininzi. Okanye kuloo region ndifumana ezona voti zininzi. So ngokwento eniproposayo. Lo nto izawuthetha ukuthi kuloo region ndiye ndafumana ezona voti kunyanzelekile ndingene khona. So uthetha ukuthi kwezinye ii-region okanye amaphondo endiye ndangumgqatswa ndaphumelela khona kuzawunyanzeleka kubekho i-recalculation. So umbuzo wam okokuqala, xa ndisenza i-recalculation eza voti zikambulelo Siliku ebesifumene ezimnika isihlalo kula maphondo mane okanye ezi region zine ebekhontesta kuzo. Okokuqala, niza kuzithini ezavoti xa nenza i-recalculation. And then okwesibini, xa nisenza i-recalculation, kubani na onelungelo okanye onentlahla okanye onokufumana ezo seats zine eziye zangangenwa ngumnumzana uSiliku ngenxa yokuthi azinintsanga nakwezinye ii-region. Ndicela nje unike umzekelo uzokwazi uunderstanda nangugogo lo uhleli phaa endlini. Enkosi.
Yeah, no, thank you very much, Honorable Sulitu. And I must admit that we do not have translation on the platform. But I want to propose...
I want to just summarize what he's saying.
Okay, before that, Honorable Zadovu, I think maybe it's important that the IEC actually understands the Christian law and perhaps in their responses, but they will assist. But be that it may, I just want an indication from the IEC. Okay, they'll give me an indication. Okay, Honorable Zadovu.
So we understand the question.
Oh, great. Thanks, Honorable Shibu. I think when they respond, they'll give us the gist of it as well. All right, Honorable Bartlett. Is you, Honorable Bartlett? Oh, okay.
Sorry, I think it was me.
Okay. It's Honorable Zadovu. Honorable Bartlett's presence, which is indicated.
Honorable Chair, Mr. Shibubu has misplaced me. I'm a bit lost in relation to what he explained. My understanding has been that if a candidate, an independent candidate, contests in more than one region, and he gets a seat in two or more regions, the greater number of, and he said, that's what he said, that candidate will be placed in a region where he obtains the greatest number of votes. That has not been my understanding. My understanding is that independent candidate will be placed in a region where he received or she received the highest proportion of votes, not the greatest number of votes. Can please you clarify that? Thanks.
Okay, no, thank you very much, Honorable Zadovu, because I think that was also another matter. But I think, Mr. Shiburi, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. I'll start with the question from Honorable Dovu. Honorable Dovu, the position in the bill as it currently stands is that an independent who stands to get more than one seat is defaulted to a region in which they have won by the most votes. That is what currently is in the bill. However, in not the last meeting, the one but last meeting, the Council for the Department of Home Affairs had indicated a preference as it related to the phrasing that the candidate should be defaulted to the region where they received the highest proportion of votes. I think that is a matter that is now up to the Select Committee to make a call on whether we retain the current phrasing in the bill or we replace that with the proportion of votes received. The bill currently indicates that an independent will be defaulted to a region where they've received most votes. And most votes was deliberate because in both instances, they have won representation. So it's not a theoretical calculation of proportions. You win a seat in Gauteng, the quota is 60,000, you get 60,000 votes, you win a seat in Gauteng, you win a seat in Eastern Cape, a quota for Eastern Cape might be 50,000, you receive 52,000 votes in Eastern Cape, you are defaulted to the seat in Gauteng because you have won it one, but also you have won it by a numeric higher number of votes. But as I indicated, there is this new proposal from Council of the Department that we use proportion rather than a numeric number of votes. The questions by Honorable Sileku Chair, so that I have concurrence from Honorable Sileku. I do not butcher a response and get lost in translation. As I understood it, the example is that a candidate stands in five regions. They win a seat in one region. and we default them to that seat. The question was, what happens to the other votes that have that they have received in other regions when we do a recalculation? Those votes are forfeited, they are disregarded from the count. The second question was, who stands to benefit from how, in the manner that we treat those votes? Once we have disregarded those votes, we run a new recalculation that yields a new quota. A the quota, or who meets the quota, whether they be a party or independent, is elected then into that position in order to honor the principle of the will of the people. In other words, that the votes must lead into representation. So that is the response to Honorable Seleku and the question by Honorable Totofu. Thank you, Chair.
Bambe Yon, Ngos.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shiguri. Okay, Honorable Mikulakis.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I just want clarity on this. So in other words, I can stand as a representative or independent living in the Free State with a home base in the Free State. As a bill currently stands, I can also stand in Gauteng independent. And if I get more votes in Gauteng, I become the MP from that region, or I represent Gauteng in the National Assembly, although I have no home base there, I'm not registered there, I have no links with Gauteng. Simply by standing in more than one province, I can get elected there, and I can be elected to represent a province with which I have absolutely no link at all. Do I understand that correctly?
Thank you very much, Honorable Mikulakis. Mr. Shiburi?
Indeed, it is so, Chair, but it is there is a rationale to it, because in terms of the Constitution says a person who is eligible to stand to vote for a number to vote for an election of the National Assembly is eligible to stand for that house. So limiting the person to one region may be limiting and restricting their constitutional rights in an unfair manner. So that's the rationale why a person may contest in a region in which they are not ordinarily resident.
Chair, I have a follow-up, if I may.
Sorry, please continue, Mr. Mikulakis.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, my argument to this would be that no one is being limited from standing in the National Assembly completely. The limitation is absolutely reasonable if they're only limited to their own province, because that same limitation applies to the rest of us. So, I mean, to require from a person to stand in the province, or at least to be registered to vote in the province where they are standing, I don't think is an unreasonable limitation. Unreasonable limitation would be to bar them completely from standing for the National Assembly. That's not the case. This is a reasonable limit to say that if you stand for the National Assembly, that you must do so where you are registered to vote and where your home base is. So that would be my counter argument to that, that the limitation is not reasonable, is not unreasonable.
Thank you very much, Ms. Lattis. I know that we had discussions on this clause as well in our previous engagements. It's just unfortunate that these issues were also not raised previously. But be that as it may, Mr. Shiguri, over to you. With regard to the...
Chair, we have nothing more to add on other than that explanation, Chair. Thank you.
Okay, cool. No, thank you very much. I think that is also another clause within the bill as it stands. Okay. Just in terms of the proposal with regard to the vacancies in seats, I think honourable members, honourable, was it Maleka, proposed that we support that clause or support that amendment. I want to see if there are any other members that are in support of that amendment, of that Adobe proposal.
Support, honourable chair.
Thank you, honourable Zadovu. Any honourable Mikulakis?
Chair, I just want some clarity. Are we considering the amendments now, or are we going to go through the bill after the deliberations, clause by clause?
We're considering the amendments as they came out of our engagement in the last meeting. We have already dealt with various aspects of the bill, Honourable Mikulakis. Do you want to put something on the table? You are welcome to do that as well.
Well, Chairperson, I just think it would help us to be able to see the wording of the new amendments on the screen, if that's possible.
Okay, I think this was presented previously, perhaps. I don't know about whether they have that ability to do it now. Maybe I propose that we get those as well. But I don't know, Mr. Shiburi, let me not. Perhaps you have the actual proposals in front of you. And look, there's a broader principle around this amendment. And then there's a whole lot of technical issues or technical or other consequential amendments that come out of this. Honorable Dodolo, can you mute, please?
Yes, Honourable Chair, I wanted to, firstly, I don't know whether am I assisting or what, in relation to the question that Honourable Mikulakis is asking. After today's meeting, we conclude what we are doing. Will there be an occasion, I guess, where we are going to look specifically at the whole bill, go through the amendment per the amendment? I think this is what he was asking. Whether they are properly placed, properly inserted.
Yes, yes, Honourable Zadovu. We will be. This is Honourable Dango.
Yes.
Honourable Dango, are you going to mute?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
I'm muted. I am muted. Yeah.
No, we can hear you. Can you unmute, please?
The system has muted me completely. You can hear me now, yeah. Okay. Chairperson, I wish to address the issue of broader electoral reform post-elections 2024, if I may.
Honourable Dango, can you maybe hang on for a moment, please?
Thank you.
I think the issue raised by Honourable Mikulakis, Honourable Zadovu, around this matter. Honourable Mikulakis and Honourable Zadovu, there will be an opportunity post this process to look at what the proposals or the proposed amendments, word for word, are on the ball. What we will do is following this process, get the legal team, the Parliamentary Legal Services, the legal team from Home Affairs, and the one from the IEC to deal with the amendments. My apologies also for speaking slowly, because of there's an echo in the system, which is So I keep hearing myself. But that, be that as it may, that there will be that opportunity. For now, we broadly agreeing to these amendments, and that we will then bring back to us what the actual proposals are in drafting terms. Okay. Are you covered on members?
Yes, sir, we are. Very much so.
Honorable Sister?
Honorable Chair, sorry, we have problems with connectivity. I want to ask you respectfully, sorry, that I just want to open my screen. I just want to ask you, at the next meeting, can we go through this Amendment Act, and can we have it before the time so we can study it and go through it line by line? It's impossible to do a thing that we cannot do.
No, I understand what you're saying, Honorable Sister. I think it's what I'm saying will happen, and I'm sure you'll get the document before the next meeting. Okay.
We will. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much, all members. We'll then move on to the next issue, which was covered actually in terms of our discussion now, which was in relation to independent candidates contesting more than one region. And I think the matter was asked by, was it Honorable Sodovu? Especially with regard to the inclusion of the rule that governs the seat that would be allocated to an independent candidate in the event that they receive a seat in more than one region. And that had to do with the, based on what is currently the bill, which is the largest number of votes, and the proposal being that it should be the largest proportion of votes. So I think that matter was also clarified by Mr. Shiburi on this matter. I don't know if honorable members want to speak to it as well.
My hand is up, honorable chair.
Sorry, I don't see. Okay, please continue.
I support the fact that we must agree that an independent candidate can contest elections in more than one region. And in case that independent receives two seats or more seats, each seat in each region, the vote or his seat that he must occupy must be in terms of the highest proportion of votes that candidate receives. It shouldn't be on the basis that it is the greatest number in relation to the number of votes. I want us to agree on that, Honorable Chair. Thanks.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dadovu. Any other honorable member? Is it you, Honorable Bartlett? Is your Honorable Bartlett? Oh, it's in the okay.
Do you support Honorable Chair?
Okay, thank you very much, Honorable Bartlett. Are there any other issues around this? Any other views on it? Honorable Sister?
Okay, for a while I couldn't hear Honorable Bartlett, so I didn't know what he said. I just want to add to this that the DA wants to see what the amendments as is clause by clause before we can vote on this. And we respectfully request that we have such a meeting. Thank you.
I think I've already dealt with that matter. For now, you're not proposing a view. All right. Can we then move on to the last issue was with regard to broader electoral reform. There have been various discussions on that. Honorable Dado, I mean Honorable Dangle. Honorable Dangle, please. Please unmute.
Hello, can you hear me now? Okay.
Yes,
on the broader electoral reform post the 2024 election, we believe that the views expressed by society on the need to review the electoral system is an important debate, and that we should create an opportunity for South Africans to further discuss on this matter and thus develop consensus on the kind of electoral system that will be suitable for the South African situation. Our view is that whatever electoral system is decided upon should be premised on the principle that the people shall govern, and that such an electoral system should be informed by the letter and the spirit of the Constitution of the Republic of South Africa. The electoral system for South Africa should be fair, inclusive, transparent, and ensure accountability. The committee should be inclusive of all stakeholders and be as representative of South African society as possible. I thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dango. You're making a proposal on this matter that,
yes,
that there's a provision in the bill with regard to this. Honorable members, it's open for discussion. It's open for discussion.
Honorable Chair.
Honorable Barber.
We are supporting also the views of Honorable Dango in the previous speaker. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Barber. My apologies for the interruption. Are there any other views on the matter?
We support Honorable Chair. Okay.
Thank you very much. Any alternative views on it? Okay. If none, then that exhausts the issues that came out of our previous process. Are there any other matters that honorable members would want to place on the proposed amendments? Honorable, Ms. Njikela from Legal Services. Your assistance in this regard, or perhaps just someone in terms of what you want to say?
I was raising my hand on a different point.
Okay.
Maybe I can hold until you wrap up your proceedings so that I can make the suggestion.
Okay. No problem. I think if there's no other matter that honorable members wish to raise, my proposal is that in terms of the agreements around these matters, we then get the legal services from the three departments, from the Parliamentary Legal Services, the Department of Home Affairs, as well as the IEC, to then go and deal with these proposals. And provide the committee with the proposed amendments for the committee to further deliberate on and consider. I think, Mr. Njikela, I'm not sure if you would want to come in now. This was basically the final item that we were dealing with today. Mr. Njikela?
Yes, Chair. Chairperson, we've been really trying hard to follow the proceedings. And I've been communicating with my colleagues from the legal service. I have not been able to speak to the state law advisor. And for that reason, I want to just make a proposal, Chairperson, just to make the work of the legal team easy. That if the committee staff could send a list of resolutions that have been taken, to a large extent, we've been making our notes, but sometimes it was a bit confusing for us as to whether what is the decision. That if the committee staff can just send us a list of resolutions by this afternoon, so as to enable the legal team to be able to incorporate this in the draft before the next meeting of the committee, if they could just indulge us in that regard, Chairperson. That is our proposal.
I think that is a fair one. We'll ensure that all the staff of the committee will ensure that you receive the set recommendations or proposals. I think, is there any other issue that members or anybody would like to raise? Okay, if not, then I think we've actually come towards the conclusion of the matters that we wanted to deliberate on. There are no additional matters raised by any member on the platform. We will then reconvene, I think, next week, Monday, to look at the matter of the proposed amendments. With that said, let me also thank the department, the commission, the Independent Electoral Commission, Chairperson, and your team for your participation in this meeting and your assistance also in terms of clarifying various matters. The Department of Home Affairs as well, and all honourable members who have made the necessary inputs around the various matters that we discussed today. That said, members, I think this meeting is hereby closed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you to the members. Bye-bye.
Thank you.